Now, the passage that we have read together is a very familiar passage of the Word of God. And indeed, I would say from our very earliest recollections, we have learnt about Elijah and how that he was called of God for this particular task. We find that Elijah comes on the scene almost out of obscurity. We know little or nothing about him until we come to this great task. No doubt he had been one of those who knew and loved and followed the Lord in that time, even though there was wickedness and the country was vile round about. Under the leadership of Ahab, and of course that old wicked queen that had come into his life, the nation had gone far and further and further away from the things of God. They began to worship Baal. They began to worship almost every whim of doctrine that came on their way. Because once you lose the knowledge of the living and true God, beloved, we become vulnerable to everything that comes our way. That's why the cults today have such a freedom in our land and in our nation. Because people are wondering, maybe there's something in what they say. Oh, they don't accept everything they say straight off the reel, as it were, or without any reservation. But they're afraid. They're a bit like the Greeks in their day. They raise up a little monument to each doctrine and each thing that they hear because they're no longer certain. They're no longer sure. And it is the seed that starts to lead the people of God away further and further. And of course, whenever they start to elect and to put into place those who are ungodly, then the nation goes even further and further away. And out of the midst of this situation, there's a young man who the Lord puts his hand upon and he gives him a task. It's a daunting task. I want you to go into the palace. I want you to go right into the very presence of the king and the queen. And I want you on behalf of me and my name to rebuke them for their sin. And to tell them that because of their sin, I'm going to judge this nation. I'm going to withhold the rain. You see, the time had come in the nation and in the area whenever the rains should have come. This was the time whenever they would look for the clouds. But God sent them in to say they're not coming. And they won't come for the next years until I say so. And Elijah, of course, we know he went in and he went and he did exactly what the Lord asked him to do. And immediately he had went in and done this, the Lord did what I think was a very strange thing. Because immediately he went in to the king and rebuked the king, it tells us very clearly that the Lord told him to come away. To go away to the brook. To go away into a wilderness place. And there he would look after him. If ever it was going from one great task into going into a place of total obscurity again. And yet we find that God's child accepted it. And I want us this morning to look at this situation in the light of the obedience of one to accept the small place or the obscure place, and as well as accepting the prominent place. I want you to notice the contrast that we have here. Now, if you were to go into chapter 18 and verse 4, you would find there, in that particular place, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." If you go back into verse 3, you'll find that Obadiah was the governor of the palace, of the house. And it tells us now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Here was a situation that even though the nation was ungodly, even though the king and the queen were determined to do the things that would offend the holy God, yet there was one in that palace who loved the Lord dearly. And he it was who took 100 of the prophets and hid them in 50s, and he fed them with the food from the palace, with bread and water. But whenever we find that Elijah had been given this great task, he wasn't separated for to go and join them, for to be provided for, but rather he was taken away into the obscure place. In verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And that word that is translated there, hide thyself, in the original really means remove thyself. Take yourself out of here, Elijah. Go away out into the wilderness and go and remain beside the brook that's beside Jordan. Because he says, when you're there, I'll provide for you. Now we take that just for granted. But if we stop and think about it for a moment, it must have been a strange contrast for to be called to go into the palace and to rebuke the king and the nation and the kingdom for its sin, and then all of a sudden to find yourself away in the lonely place, the obscure place, whereby he was to find himself being provided for beside a brook. And during the famine, he was to depend upon the birds to bring him his bread and to bring him his meat. And if we look at the words there with regard to it in verse 4, it tells us they were ravens. Now, if there was a famine going to be in the land, no doubt, not only were the people going to suffer, but every creature was going to suffer. And here was a miracle in itself, in that these birds, rather than feast themselves on what the Lord provided for to take to Elijah, they would carry it. And they would leave it with them. Not only that, if you were to go into the Levitical law, in chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 11, and down to verse 15. In fact, we would need to start at 13. And these are they which ye have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ostrich, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind. Every raven after his kind. And then it goes on with the owl and the hawk and the cuckoo and so forth down through. So we find that here was a bird that even was unclean in the eyes of every Jew. And God's servant was taken away into the solitary place. And he was to rely upon it for his food. He was to sit beside a brook. It wasn't a river. It wasn't a well that sprung up with water. It was just a brook. It was only a tributary. And God asked him that he would go there. But verse 4 tells us, he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want you to notice that little word, there. That's the place God had called them to. That's the place that God would provide for them. There. Not in any other place. The promise was to him beside the brook. And in that individual place, God would show him his favor. The bread and the water of the other 100 prophets from the king's table, that wasn't to be his. This was to be the place where he was to be fed. And it's wonderful how that we read that he immediately got up and went. And it tells us in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. We read with no protest. He never rebuked it. He never questioned it. He went and he did according to what the Lord asked him. You know, for many of us, it's a solitary place. Very often the walk of God takes us. We don't always have our place among the way that other people seem to have their provision made. The Lord calls us as individuals into individual walks, and he shows us that it's there he will provide for us. In that situation, in that place, in those conditions, wherever we find ourselves, providing we have sought the will of the Lord and asked him to guide us, that's the place. It may be the lonely walk. It may be in the place that's seldom noticed or seldom ever given a claim. But that's the place the Lord wants us that we might be. It's probably maybe for our own good. Few today we find in the work of God can deal or cope with the prominent place. The acclaim of man seems to take its toll upon the very best intentioned individuals. Very often we find ourselves drawn aside. And in the quiet place, in that walk that God has called us to, that's where he meets us. That's where he provides for us. He provides for us in some of the ways that we would never ever dream of. We would never ever have thought of. If it had been in our hands, it's not the way we would have planned it. Yet the Lord's faithful. And the Lord provided for his servant. Paul speaking to the people in Acts chapter 26 and verse 8, he says there, why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? What he was saying to the people is, why should the ways of God surprise you? Why should it seem to be something that you can't believe? Because the ways of the Lord are past finding out. The Lord can do what he wishes. He can do what he wills. And very often we find that we're drawn aside and we're led in a way whereby we may not have imagined or may not have thought that we should have been taking. Elijah rested on the word of the Creator. He didn't depend on the creature. He didn't question the ravens. He didn't question the brook because he wasn't depending on them. He was depending on the word of God. I will provide, says the Lord. I'll meet you there. And my, he could go in confidence, even though it was into obscurity, even it was into an inhospitable condition. He could go in confidence, knowing that if the Lord said it, then that's enough. He was submissive, not only for the things that were notable, he was submissive even into the place where he wouldn't be noticed, or no one would know he was there. But the test became even more curious. Because you would have thought when the Lord took him aside to that situation, that would have been everything, as it were, in the garden rosy in verse 5, as we have already mentioned. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. There was the provision for him, and we would have said, you know, everything's well. You see, he was faithful. And that there can sometimes be unusual in the life of people. He was consistent not only in going to do what the Lord asked him whenever he was going to tell others how they should behave before the Lord, but he was consistent in his own life. In the quiet place, in the solitary place, he still obeyed the will of God. In Romans chapter 2, we find there, whenever Paul was writing to the Romans in chapter 2, verse 17, he said to them, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light to them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teach thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, through you, as it is written." Here were people that Paul had to rebuke because they would tell other people what they should do and how they should do it, but they didn't practice it themselves. But that could never be said concerning Elijah. Elijah was obedient unto God whenever it was in a situation that was notable. But he was equally faithful in the little areas, in the areas that no one took much notice of. In fact, if it wasn't recorded for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing about it today. Yet he was quite prepared to be there. But then we find in verse 7 a remarkable thing. It says, "And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain." Again we find there that it came to pass that the original reading of that is at the end of days. There was a time. There was a limit to the provision in the area that he was in the brook. And here we find that as the water dried up and as the birds stopped to come, we don't hear any complaint again from God's servant. He's the one that seems to be submissive and accepting to the will of the Lord, even in things he doesn't understand. He could well have probably reminded the Lord, and in fact we could have expected, that the brook wouldn't dry up. It didn't need a river, it didn't need anyone to provide. After all, the Lord had provided for the whole of Israel out of a rock. When Samson was thirsty, he gave him the water out of the jawbone of the animal. But Elijah, the brook dried. And then the Lord came to him and redirects him. In verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." We read that very often and we don't think much of it. But it was a curious thing, because he was asked to go further away from his own people. He was asked to go to Zarephath, which was in Zidon. That was outside Palestine altogether. He was to go to the place of the Gentiles. 75 miles he was to go across a desert area. And he was to go to this place. And verse 10 tells us, so he arose. There's no objection, there's no query. As the Lord asks, he obeys. Would to God we had submissive hearts like that. So often we want things and we're willing to accept things, providing they fall into the way that we want. They fall along the lines of our own desires. But Elijah's desires aren't even mentioned here. It's according to the will of the Lord, without question. In Luke chapter 4 and verses 25 and 26, the Lord, referring to this time, reminds us that there were many widows in Israel at this time. But he wasn't sent to any of them. The Lord did not send them. He did not send them to one in the house of Israel. Such was the situation that he took them even further away. That was an indictment against the nation. If they would have had the sensitivity of their heart to realize it. He was the man of God, and he was taken away into a hostile area. Not only that, but if you went down into 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31, you'd find it's the very town from which, an area from which Jezebel came. The one that was part and parcel of the problem. The one that was one of the main influences in leading the king even further and further away. But in verse 9 it tells us there, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded." There's the hand of God once again. "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." From a brook 75 miles away, to depend upon a widow. And as we read down through it, that widow had nothing but a handful of meal and a little oil. It's wonderful how that the Lord sometimes moves us in mysterious ways. But he always provides. Didn't he say that through Isaiah in Isaiah 41 and verse 10? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." O child of God, the road may not be the way that we would choose. The situations may not be the situations that we would desire our hearts to be in and our pathway to take. But yet the Lord has promised to meet us there. Just as Elijah found it was sufficient to have the promise of God where he went, you and I need to learn that the Lord's ways are the best ways. Even though it may take us in many directions and in many different situations. It's a lesson for us there to learn. Sometimes we think that the Lord's work needs us for certain things in certain places. But you remember Philip? He was in the middle of a revival in the New Testament. The Lord caught him up and took him away out into the desert. Why? You see, there was a soul there needed the Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want you to notice that. I want you to take heed to it. That man's searching the Scripture, that man's acceptance of Christ was so important that the Lord moved an evangelist from the middle of a revival right out into the wilderness experience that he might be saved. That's how important your soul's salvation is. And this man's way, Elijah, was to come across this widow woman. Such was her situation and her plight that the Lord was not only supplying Elijah's existence through her, but was also supplying hers in turn. Each and every one, the Lord was making a way. You see, the Lord can go on with us or without us. If we rebel against him, do you remember what Mordecai said to Esther? Whenever he said to her to go into the king's court and to plead the situation of the people of God because tomorrow they were going to perish. And Esther says, "But I can't go into the king's court because I haven't been summoned." If anyone goes into the king's court and they haven't been summoned, then they can die. Instant death is required. Mordecai said, "Who knows? you're called for such a time as this. But he reminded her that if Israel's deliverance didn't come from her, then the Lord would raise it from another source and another situation. Verse 10 tells us that whenever Elijah came, it says, so Elijah rose, and it tells us, behold, the widow woman was there. She was at the city gates. She was waiting on him coming. Such was the miracle of the Lord as he worked things out, that not only did he guide his servant, but the provision was there. Do you notice the word there again? Just as it was at the side of the brook, so it is here whenever he has moved on these so many miles. O child of God, how wonderful are the provisions of an infinite God. You go through the Word of God and you look at the situations. Do you remember whenever Jacob sent his sons down into Egypt? Sent them down because of the famine. And he sent them down there into Egypt to get food for themselves. And the Word of God tells us that when they went down into Egypt, Joseph was there already. See the way he was provided for them. Joseph didn't understand the way the Lord was taking him. And as you read the life of that young man, it's hard to understand. But in every situation, the Lord was still there, even among the false accusations, even among the difficulties and the sufferings that he had. The hand of God was there. And whenever his brethren came down, he was there to provide for them. The way before was mapped out. The spies that went into Jericho. When they went into Jericho, Rahab was there to protect them, to guard them. It came from an unlikely source. It came from somewhere that no one would ever think or fathom. Yet the Lord had them there. And our ways are mapped out. The Ethiopian, as I have referred to, when he sat in the chariot and he studied the Word of God and he didn't know, is this man speaking of himself or is he speaking of someone else? The person to tell him about it was there. Philip was caught up and he was left there and he could get up into the chariot and he could sit and explain to him, not only explain to him, but glory to God, to the instrument in bringing him to Christ. And it took place in the solitary place. It took place in the unexpected place. You and I may not want to understand the way that the Lord has brought us to be. But there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. He has us there for a purpose. And he'll provide for us. Cornelius, that man of God, that worshipped the Lord, and yet he knew there was something lacking, there was something missing, there was something that he didn't know about. At the very time the concern was in Cornelius' heart, Peter on the rooftop was receiving the vision, go and tell Cornelius and his house about Christ. Go and tell them. We could even go to disobedient Jonah. While he was out in the boat and he was going in his own rebellious way, tells us God had prepared a big fish. Oh, the Lord's ways are always provided for us. Each and every one of us need to learn that the Lord's hand is upon us. If we were to go on down this chapter further down, we would find that even when he came to the lady, that his problems still weren't over. Because on down the chapter, we find that even then, the young lad died. But even in the midst of that adversity, in the midst of that situation, a wonderful miracle took place. And we come down to verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of God in thy mouth is truth. Oh, you see, It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. And many are the thorns on the way. But the Lord will meet us there. The Lord will be with us every step of the journey. That's why we need to be encouraged. We don't understand. Yes, it'll have to be like the hymn writer said, further along before we'll understand why. But here's Elijah. And yes, he can go in, and later on he's to take that tremendous step of defying or confronting the prophets of Baal and all the whole hosts of Israel. But what a lesson there is in his obedience in the little place, in the quiet place. If the Lord can't trust you and me in the small things, how can we be expected to be trusted if there's a big issue to come up? If we're to be called for greater things? The Lord cares about His children. Whether they're the ones in the forefront, or whether they're you and me that's bringing up the rear, that's caring for the lambs of the flock, He cares about our struggle. He knows our way. And my, He loves to provide for His children. Just as He has done through the Word of God. Because it's there for your encouragement and it's there for mine. And that's why we need to read it and to meditate upon it. The way may be difficult. Things may be difficult to understand at this moment. But the Lord will provide. The Lord will show us why it has been so. And if you're here today and you're not saved, why have you not that protection? Why have you not that assurance and that certainty? Because we know that the Lord walks beside us every step of the journey. And not only that, when the time comes, He'll go with us. Yea, even through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you're without Christ, you haven't that assurance. In fact, you have an assurance that you'll go alone. Where Jesus is, you'll never ever be. Oh, we need to pray today. We need to pray that the Lord would guide us. And as He guides us, we would see His hand in the journey that we're taking, in the way that we're taking. Look for God's hand, and then we can be assured of God's blessing. And we need to pray for those who are in the limelight, those who have their big responsibilities, because they are an even greater target. If you and I make a mistake, it's a tragedy, but few will see what has taken place. But those in higher authority, those in places of responsibility, my, it'll be the talk of the whole place. We need to know the hand of God upon our walk. Always remember that whatever way the Lord takes you, He'll be there. He will provide for you. And He will sustain, because He is able to present us faultless before the throne. He has promised not only to lead us, but to provide for us every step of the journey. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy providing hand upon Thy servant Elijah. And Lord, whether the task is one of note, or the task may be something small and apparently insignificant, help us to be faithful. Help us to trust Thee. And O Father, give us the ability that we may stand and be counted. That, Lord, that we may be Thy vessel. We may be that channel that Thou canst use, Lord, to bless others around us. Every day we'll meet with those and be with those in situations that one who preaches in the pulpit every day can't be with. Lord, it behoves us to be faithful. that whether the task be great or whether it be small, we might have thy hand upon us, and we'll do it with all our might. Continue to be with us now and bless us and undertake for us in the closing moments of the service. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.